So I don't know about you, but many of us in this mood at kind of New Year's is a time where we sort of look at the last year and we see what God has done and what life is involved in, and we look a little bit ahead to next year, to 2018, and maybe try and figure out some new directions or some furtherance or some good directions and so on. And it's a good thing to do that. I spent some time doing that in my personal life, and to tell you the truth, a lot of it was kind of shocking. I did up a budget, so I looked at last year's expenditures, and then I realized that I was spending like a drunken salesman. I'd buy up to 3 chocolate bars a week with after-tax dollars, and you can leave that. It was stuff and nightmares I made up, I'm telling you. It's just, made up a new budget for next year, and I looked at my schedule and said, okay, what did I do last year? Where did I put my time? Where did I put my energy? And trying to rejig things to be more efficient next year and to get the most productivity relationally and for the Lord and all those things. And I looked at my devotional life and how am I doing with that? And I realized, man, not bad. I had a daily devotion, read the Bible, prayed. But I hadn't journaled for a couple of years. I used to do that for many, many years, 10, 15 years, journal every day. I hadn't done that for a couple of years. So I said, it's better than my journal. And I started journaling again. And then I started thinking about my family life. And, last year was such a great thing. Sarah and Andrew moved back, and we had the joy of living together for about 9 months. And for me, it was kind of like Christmas every day, honestly, I'm telling you. It was just a marvelous thing. But as we thought about that, and we talked about our relationship, we realized that, man, it's not optimal. It's not perfect. It could be better. And I'm not a guy. I want everything in my life to be good, to be perfect, to be the best it could be. And so we're lined up for some family counseling starting on Thursday with Karen Murr
Bear Creek.
Bear Creek Council, there you go. She does this weird thing with your eyeballs or something, and you can recover it. So David Fast, a psychologist, told me about it, so I believe it. It sounded like wizardry to me, man, but I'm going to give it a shot, Why is that? Because I want my family life to be awesome, and it's good, but man, it can be better. And so it's just good to look at last year and to look ahead to next year. It's a good thing to do, to look at those foundational things of our time and our relationships and our with the Lord and our money and all those things and just take... And you know what? It's good to do that as a church as well.
Yes.
To just take a look at what the Lord has done in us as a community over this last year and maybe see what's going on for next year. And you think about last year, man, there was some great stuff that happened in the Grand Prairie Church of Christ last year. I'm just so thrilled. We put 2 missionary families on the field. 2 of our own families, the POs and staff. There's staff working in a hidden country, it's a close country. We can't tell you, say out loud where it is because it's kind of a hot place and she's getting into translating the Bible and POs in Portugal. It's just such a joy to have that happen. And of course, look at you.
Yeah.
Eastside boys. Hey, look at this. We've prayed about this for years. We've prayed about this as elders and so on. And finally, it's sort of, we put the feet on the ground, the wheels on the ground. It's just been a great year. But I believe that God has got something even better in store for us.
Yes.
Yeah, just like I had with our family, we were going to this family counseling, man. It is going to be an awesome thing. I hardly wait to see what God does. I'm so worked up. I don't know why I was sweating when I preached. I never was. Let me try and do it. We'll get to work.
We're all asleep.
All right, so what we need to do then is we need to take a look tonight. I want to take a look at the basics of the church. Kind of like I look at the basics of my life and my devotional life and my budget and schedule and that stuff and relationship. Let's take a look at the basics of the church to see what God has done and where God maybe is going to take us and the great things he has in store for us. Now, I've got to tell you something. I'm going to give you further warning, okay? It's this. Working on those foundational basic stuff is not the most exciting thing you ever do in your life. I mean, there's nothing like working out a budget to build a romance in your marriage. You sit down with your wife and... I mean, that really gets you worked up, ready for... you guys are too familiar. I get too easy going. The real me showing up. But anyhow. But it's so important. It's so important we take a look at this foundational stuff. It's kind of like we don't see immediately the benefits of it. But it's there. It's sort of like eating healthy food.
Yes.
You know, you don't even really notice it, and you can kind of skip it, and you can go along eating some not so healthy food all the time, a good diet of coffee and donuts, and keep it going, you know, it's really going. But after a while, if you eat the healthy food, you begin to reap the benefits of that, don't you? Yes. And if you eat the unhealthy food, after a while, you begin to reap the not so good benefits of that as well. And so looking at this foundational stuff, it's kind of like eating healthy food. You don't notice how it's immediately applicable to your life. You don't see the difference that's making in the church. But if we do it and we keep up with this, then so, you know what else it's like? It's kind of like looking at our skeleton. I mean, the stuff of the church is the real life stuff of this is, you know, it improves your marriage and this will help your communication and this will put you in touch with God and all those things. But we don't see the skeleton. But without the skeleton, we just become a puppet.
Yes.
Shapeless, aimless, drifting thing. And it's the same thing for the church. If we don't have a skeleton, if we don't have a foundation, if we don't understand who we are, what God's going to do, in stuff that doesn't seem immediately applicable. I mean, you don't see the bones, but this is what we're like. We don't see the bones in the church all the time.
That's right.
But if we don't take care of the skeleton, if we don't look at the bones, if we don't take the time to discipline ourselves, even though it might seem, how does this apply? We're going to end up looking like that.
Yes.
And I kind of look like that anyway. But we don't want to do that. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to take a look at sort of the basics of who we are as the Grand Prairie Church of Christ, as Eastside, and see what God has done and what he's up to. So the foundation of it all is, of course, our purpose. You know, the scores of churches in Grand Prairie. Why do we exist? What's the particular thing that God has in mind when in 1947, I think it was, or 48, he started the Grand Prairie Church. Why in the world did he do that? What's unique about us? Well, we think it's this. The purpose of the Grand Prairie Church of Christ is to praise and worship God and to mature and assist or to help other people mature towards the image of Christ. Now that's quite a mouthful, and it's meant to be a mouthful because it's saying, hey, this is what we're all about. If you want to know, everything that we do needs to grow out of that purpose. When Jason and the steering team, when they get together, then we think, hey, what are we going to do? As he said, this purpose needs to be in mind, and we do everything in line with this purpose. So what in the world does it mean? It's not a bunch of gobbledygook, even though it might sound like it. For example, this whole deal here, to praise and worship God. We mean two different things by that. We're not just kind of multiplying words. You see, worship is intended by God to be our whole life.
Yeah.
The whole point of what we try to understand and what we try to teach around here is that, listen, every word that we speak, every thought that we have, every action that we do, it should be an offering up to God. When you're talking to that person at work, when you're talking to that person at school, when you're talking to your spouse or your best friend or whoever, those words should sound to God like worship.
Yeah.
When we do something, when we respond to somebody, whether they've done it for good or bad, when it's not, it should look to God. It should make him smile. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He says, listen, this is in the book of Romans, chapter 12. He says, look, in view of all the incredible stuff that God has done for you, in view of that song that we just sang, the only reasonable response to that is to say to God, here's my life.
Yeah.
Here's my life. I want to lay it down as a living sacrifice. Holy, that means special. Put aside especially for you. Holy and pleasing to God. It's your proper worship. You know, the word actually is less. Greek word, logical, logical, logical. In response to what we just sang about, the only reasonable, the only logical way that we can respond to a love like that is to give God our whole body as a living sacrifice. It's the only thing that makes any sense. And that's what worship is all about. Now the whole praising, to praise or worship God, the praise is what we do when we dance together and we sing songs. And we break bread. And we look at the word and we take this time on a weekly basis, whether we're for once in our week, we're not the focus. But God is the focus. And we praise and we sing his praise and we give thanks. And how's it ready? God, let us in. So that's kind of the whole deal, you know, that makes some sense to us. The purpose of the Grand Prairie Church of Christ is to praise, which we did, and worship God, and to mature, and assist others to mature towards him and to Christ. Now, What in the world does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. That's why I'm standing up here. The whole deal is that we are in the business of becoming more like Jesus as the Holy Spirit transforms us, and as the Holy Spirit flows through each of us to change each other, to help each other change. That's what it's all about. And I'm telling you, man, we need those kinds of people. We need that. I mean, the world is in such a mess, isn't it? And when we see it on the news, war, violence, crazy guys shooting people up because they had a bad day.
Yeah.
You know, this morning I read a report on the millennial generation. Millennials are like 20s and 30s. How many of you guys are millennial, like, you know, 20s and 30s? And, you know, it says in this report, the counselors are reporting a higher than ever incidence of depression, and disillusion, and hopelessness, because of the pressures that society is putting on that generation, and when everything's upon, you know, life's on the internet, and everyone tells you they love your age. You know, I did a awesome episode video. Put it on the internet. Anyone gonna see it?
Yep.
400 and some views.
Yep.
Wow.
But only got 12 likes. I said to Sarah, there's 380 people that don't like me. What's going on? They tried to explain to me. That's not how it works. So this kind of stuff. But this is what this generation is dealing with.
That's right.
Man, it's terrible stuff. Mm-hmm. And never like never before, we need a bunch of people who look and live just like Jesus to reach out and embrace those folks, to embrace you folks, to be those people. And the great news is that we know exactly what Jesus looks like, not just because of the gospel and reading the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the Apostle Paul tells us what Jesus looks like. And he says, hey, I'm going to tell you what Jesus looks like. He looks like this. The fruit or the result or the work, the consequence of the Holy Spirit living in your life because you're a follower of Jesus, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Mm-hmm. Kindness. Kindness. Imagine if everyone was kind to each other. Imagine if you're kind to the people you live with. Mm-hmm. Kindness and goodness and faithfulness and
gentleness.
And self-control, so not up in the fist when somebody comes at us and attacks us, but we open the open hands of love.
Yeah.
Man, we need that, and that's the business that we're in. That's the whole thing that we're about. We're about praising and worshiping God, and we're about becoming like Jesus and having the fruit of the Spirit become evident in our lives as individuals and as the East Side Church of Christ. That when this community encounters us, when somebody walks through those doors, they encounter that.
Yes.
When you guys are serving at the Hillside School or in the neighborhood association, and when you rub shoulders with the folks on the East Side of Grand Prairie, they say, wow, these guys serve a God. It looks like this.
Yeah.
And they're becoming people that live just like that. That's our purpose.
Yeah.
And everything that we do and everything that we are kind of grows out of those things. It should contribute to achieving those things. Well, how do we do it? What are the pathways? Well, we've got what we call the five themes. Five themes, five pathways. This is all on our website. It's also on if you look in your bulletin, there's an insert, and it's kind of listed there. For you can fill in some of the expand a little bit. And the first theme we have is worship. Joining together to encounter God. We already talked about worship, so we don't need to spend a whole pile of time on that. It's all, you know, just put ditto for what I just said about praising worship and God, okay? Second theme is community. We talk a lot about community around here. We really do. This whole idea that we participate together in the life and the mission of Jesus. It's bigger than just friendship. It's deeper than just hanging out with a bunch of people that we like and they kind of like us and everyone gets along the same. No, it's much richer and deeper than this. It's loving each other in spite of. You know, one of our jokes, let me tell you a Joe's family story. I might have told somebody about this before, but it's a famous story in our family. It has to do with my cousin Thomas, my brother Brian's and Lake's son. And when he was like 4 or 5 years old, somewhere in there, mum and dad were looking after him. And so the only reasonable thing to do when you're looking after a 5-year-old is go to Walmart on a Saturday. So off they trundled, and mum's doing her thing, you know, shopping at Walmart and all this kind of stuff. And pretty soon, you know, this little boy, he gets kind of bored with this, and so he wants to leave. He starts leaving, dad brings him back, And they kind of got this battle of the wills going on, you know. And finally, Thomas, this little boy, looks at my dad, looks him right in the eye, and says, "I hate you." And my dad looks at him and says, "Do you? Well, that's too bad, because I love you."
Oh, perfect.
See, that's what we're talking
about. Yeah.
See, the truth is simply this. I'm going to be straight up with you. I'm going to be honest with you. If you're in the church, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Guaranteed, and probably be me that doesn't. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because we're not messing around with tiddlywinks and collecting stamps. We're talking about the real stuff of life.
Yeah.
We're talking about loving each other. Mm-hmm. And if you love somebody, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because when we love somebody, we give them our heart.
There's Jay. And Jay forgets about me and looks at his beautiful wife and drops my heart. I'm just telling you. And sometimes we're going to get the message, not that we're loved by the people of God, but that we're hated and uncomfortable by the people of God. And that's when community comes in. Because if we were just playing tiddlywinks, if we were just in the grocery club, if we were just collecting stamps, watching birds, fishing, I don't care, whatever, we'd say, "Okay, you," and off I go.
Yeah.
But we don't. You say, "Jay, you dropped my heart. I feel like you hate me. Well, that's too bad, because I love you. Here's my heart again." That's community.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And it hurts. But it's the most beautiful thing that you can ever experience when it's gone. And one of the themes, one of the ways that we say, "Hey, people, if I'm going to mature in Christ, I got to be in community with Nick. I got to be in community with Bree." And the thing is, we just kind of live that out. But here's the deal. Here's the truth that I came to realize is this. Is that the reason that Christian community is so strong is that you can't let go of me without letting go of Jesus. Now that's the trick. It's kind of like this picture. I've told you guys this before. But this is so... You see, Jesus is that middle guy there. And Jesus holds us together. He's got his arm around me, and he's got an arm around you, and he pulls us together by his blood, and by his body, and by his mission. And he holds us together. And no matter how much I make you mad, no matter how red in the face I make you, because I haven't treated you right, and you might be well justified in being some ticked off, you can't let go of me without letting go of Jesus. It's an impossibility. Because it's Jesus that holds us together. And it's Jesus that says, "Hey, you feel hated by this guy? Let my love run through both of you to bring you together." Because you're a community. Third thing, embodiment. Now, you want to talk about embodiment. Embodiment, we've tried for decades to come up with a better word than embodiment, we can't. Let me just tell you kind of what it is. But the idea of embodiment is, we don't just talk about God's grace. We want to practice it. We want to be it. We don't just talk about God's love. We want to be it. We don't just talk about God's joy. We want to be it. We don't just want to talk about God's faithfulness. We want to be faithful. Hey, you know, Jen put it this way. We put skin on the hope and the faith and the love of God. We put skin on it. Let me tell you a story. This is how I remember this. I don't know if this story is true or not, but it's really cute, so I remember it. Here's the story.
If you've had anything to do with kids and babysitting or whatever, you've got your own kids, whatever the deal may be, you know that bedtime's always an adventure. What? Story goes this way, that here's the, you know, little Johnny, and he's afraid of the dark, and so his parents put him to bed, and it's the usual story, you know, he's downstairs, Daddy, I'm afraid of the dark, you know, it's okay, Johnny, Daddy, I think there's monster in this closet, no, there's monster in this closet. Go through this whole room, and it's like 4 or 5 times, you know, he's supposed to go to bed at 7, and it's like now 10:30, he's still scared. In a last ditch desperate attempt, Dad thinks he's going to bring religion into the whole thing. And so he kneels down beside Johnny, and Johnny says, Daddy, I'm scared. And Dad says, Johnny, you don't need to be scared, because God is with you. And Johnny said, I know, Dad, but sometimes I need God with skin on.
Yeah.
Sometimes I need God with skin on. And that's what embodiment is.
That's right.
It's us becoming the body of Christ, the skin of God, the hands of God, the ears of God, the eyes of compassion and love and gentleness and kindness of God. You know, Rand and I, we were texting about this a couple of months ago. We're going to be preaching through 1 John. Not, don't start next Sunday, because the hostage next Sunday. But the Sunday after that, and we talk about this 1 John and the importance of how, as Christians, we become the love of God. And Ryan texted me 1 John 4:8, and it says this: no one has ever seen God. He's invisible. But if we love one another, God lives in us. He takes on our skin. God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. His love is made perfect in us. That's a kind of weird thing. We think about God being perfect and his love being perfect, being complete. He says, listen, you want to know how my love is complete? I'll tell you how. I love people through you.
Yeah.
I put your skin on. You embody, you become the body of love. You become the hands of God's love. You become the ears of God's love. We become the eyes of God's love. We become the feet of God's love. That's what embodiment is. And that's how people know that God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you walk into your workplace, when you walk into your neighborhood, when you walk into your friendship group, and you love, and you extend the arms and the hands and the voice of love even to those that hate you.
Yeah.
God's love is made complete. And all of a sudden, it's not just a bunch of followers of Jesus talking about how much God loves.
They're doing it.
But people experience it. Because we do it. We are it.
Yes.
Benevolence. Caring for those who are marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
Man, as a church, we give literally tens of thousands of dollars away to the poor of the city of Grand Prairie in all kinds of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the main things that we believe that God has called us to be generous with benevolence, to take those folks who are on the margin of society, who are on missions, you know, or all at home. What is it? It's getting women in the sex trade who are addicted off the streets, starting a pathway of a new life. Benevolence is an important thing. Evangelism. Inviting other people. Hey,
yeah,
come and meet this Jesus guy, because he changed my life.
Yeah.
Come and meet him and open up your heart so that the Holy Spirit can begin to change you into him.
Mm-hmm.
Into him. And of course, that's what East Side is all about. It's, man, it is the reason to tower, the reason of existence, is to reach out to this community and to live out the love of Jesus so others can know what it is. I'm so proud of you. It starts with 12 of you.
Yeah.
Before Christmas, you're averaging like over 40 people, a high of 61 people. God's doing great stuff. Now, that's kind of the 35,000 foot view of Church of Christ. And it's the big view of the pathways that God says, here's how you can fulfill your mission. But what about 2018? I mean, we realize if we ask you to sign up and you say, yeah, I'm going to sign on with Eastside Church of Christ, that's what you're signing on for, to do that stuff, to be that person, okay? But what in particular about this year? 2018. I did a lot of praying about this, I really did. Trying to seek the Lord. Lord, what's the message for 2018 for us? Not just this site, but Highland Park, Mission Heights, whatever God brings. What's the deal? And to tell you the truth, it kind of comes back to that Romans 12 thing of being a living sacrifice. Of giving our whole self to Him in response to the stuff that song talked about. But it came to me, not in Romans 12 so much, but in some very, very familiar words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. You know that time when Jesus gathered them together and said, hey, let me just tell you what it's all about. You want to know what following me is all about? I'm going to give you chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew about what it's like, okay? And there's one part in there that just the Lord captured my heart with it for 2018. And I think it's for us. Mm. This is what Jesus taught. Hey, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers in the field grow? They don't labor or spin, they don't work hard. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon. Solomon was an ancient king of Israel. Probably the wisest man that ever lived besides Jesus. And he expanded the kingdom and his wealth. People would come from other nations all over to see his wealth. He said even Solomon, in all of his splendor as this king of Israel, wasn't dressed as well as these. And that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow's thrown into the fire. Man, just watch California and just see it burn up. It's temporary. If God makes the flowers and the grass beautiful, and it just burned up, how much more is he going to clothe you and look after you who are eternal? So don't worry. Saying, what should we eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear? For the pagans. The pagans are people that don't know Jesus, that don't know God. Okay? For the pagans run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father, see, that's the difference. We're going to stand in the crazy universe because our dad, our Father. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. And here we go. But seek first his kingdom. And his righteousness, his right relationships, his being right with him, with ourselves, with each other, with creation, his righteousness. And all of these things will be given to you as well. This passage became important to me a few years ago. There's a guy who sat by the name of Renus Jensen. Some of you maybe know Renus. He preaches down in Calgary now. A great friend of ours, great friend of... what's your name?
Jason.
Nice. Go to 55, man. You just suffer. Jason, amazing. I remember Jason was telling me about this thing, and he says, you know, he said, I was reading these words of Jesus, and I thought to myself, I run after all those things. If I'm honest, I run after all those things. And when Venus said that, I thought, I run after those things too. There I am at the end of every month, marking to markets, my RSP, see how I'm going to do it. Am I going to make it? What am I going to need when I retire? Blah, blah, blah. I run after those things. You know what? I'm going on a limb. I'll bet you run after those things too. And I'll tell you why I bet that. You've been following the news about this thing at the Pearson Airport in Toronto with WestJet and Sunderland. You guys follow that? Where they had collided there on the tarmac. Yeah, you know, there's WestJet guys just coming in from Cancun and everybody's smiling. Dude backs up the Sunwing plane, not like, you know, the guy driving the car, crashes into it. I was reading this first-hand account, and the guy said, man, he said, I'm sitting in the plane and we hear this crunch. I said, and to be honest with you, at first it was kind of giggles, you know, a few giggles went through the cabin, it was kind of funny. Until we realized it started the fuel leak. And until it caught on fire. And until we realized that fire started coming towards us. And until the cabin started filling up with black smoke. And the stewards were saying, stay in your seats,
We get the emergency things going, they let the things go. And in this account of this guy who's there with his family said, my family got trapped in the seats. Do you know why? Because the stinking plane's on fire. And guys are trying to get their stuff out of the overhead.
Oh no.
I'm not kidding. Maybe it was his Aunt Martha's favorite socks that he'd given him. I don't know. We run after this stuff.
Wow.
I mean, this is the stuff of movies. The plane is going to blow up, you know? And just, they're waiting for some hero to come in. The guys are getting their stuff.
Mm.
We run after that stuff. I run after that stuff. There are so many things. And so many of them are good things that vie for our attention. And God wants us to enjoy good things. Don't get me wrong. He blesses us so much.
Yeah.
But he says, man, seek first my kingdom.
Yeah.
With your time, seek first my kingdom. With your energy, seek first my kingdom. With your money, seek first my kingdom. In your relationships, seek first my kingdom. In all that you are, seek first my kingdom, and you will experience the Father's care, and his mission will be achieved. So we've got to kind of put it in the ground a little bit tonight. I know we said it's the skeleton and all those things, but just a little bit. Let me just put this for you. Maybe for you as an individual as well as the church, 2018 is a year where we seek to live kingdom first. And I don't know what that would mean for you as a person. It might be that you engage Jesus for the very first time. It might be that you just kind of wandered in here because, I don't know why, it was cold walking down the street and you smelled the food. I don't know.
Don't ask me.
But maybe this is the year that you say, you know what, I'm gonna step over the line and I'm going to give myself as a living sacrifice to this Jesus. Maybe you're called to participate in a new way of worship. There's something in your life, some word, some relationship, something that you look at your life and the Holy Spirit says, Alan, man, your attitude towards that guy, that's not worship. Your response to that situation, that kind of stinks. Doesn't bring a smile to my face. Or maybe you're called to serve in the praise side of worship. I don't know, work with tech. We need Brie over here on the media side. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's to really focus on this whole thing about community. To build relationships. To say, you know what, I kind of feel like you hate me, like you don't care, but that's too bad for you because I love you.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very dangerous thing to hate me. Let me tell you what I do. If I think that you hate me, I actually be a proud father. Now, don't show my proud father. It's true. I say, hey man, you know, how about we pray together once a week till we get to know each other's hearts? Because this ain't right. And you can't let go of me, and I can't let go of you without letting go of Jesus first. And I'm sure that I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's getting involved in the DNA group around here.
Mm-hmm.
Build that community because, you know, you just sort of the size. You get up to 100 people and you're done knowing everybody.
Yeah.
In the deep way that we all want to be known, right? You got to get into these smaller groups. Maybe God's saying, hey, I want you to put skin on the good news of Jesus in your workplace. And that person that's made an enemy of himself to you, that guy that always got the smart mark, you know, to put you down, put you in your place, that supervisor that makes you feel kind of dumb, that neighbor that throws his snow on your driveway.
I've got to figure out how to love that person in a concrete way.
Yeah.
I'm going to put skin on the grace of God in my relationship with that person. Maybe God's put right now, whisper in your heart, yeah, that's the guy, that's the woman, that's what I want you to do. You're going to, but God, I hate that guy. I know, that's the point. That's the point. Maybe it's involved in benevolence. You know, it's awesome, Sandy. You know, this whole deal with the bread and Christina, you know, that whole thing. Maybe, you know, that. Or maybe it's Saturday night supper or getting involved in rising above. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
But God's put a heart in you for the poor. For those who are pushed to the margins of society. Maybe they choose to be there. Maybe you're pushed there. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, by the time you're addicted, you ain't got choice anymore. It's not about choice. It's about you need somebody with the strength of Jesus to drag you out of that spot.
Yeah.
Maybe God's saying, hey, I want you to be involved in evangelism. I want you to share with your neighbor. I want you to join the church missions team. I want you to serve at camp this summer.
Mm.
Where most of the kids that come never heard of Jesus. Well, it's not true. Some of them have heard of Jesus, but most don't know Jesus. Let me say that. I don't know what it is. But I just want to invite you to seek first his kingdom this year. So I want to give you just a couple of minutes to pray. It's kind of, you know, if you're not a church person, it's kind of a weird thing, like what's in prayer. We believe around here that God will speak to our hearts. We believe that the Holy Spirit's real. And to just say, Jesus, I just want you to live in my heart. This year, what's the particular way you want me to seek your kingdom first? Maybe it's involved in one of these things. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to pray, and then I'll close, and then I think the team are going to come and lead us in a song, which is really a song of dedication, commitment, that, yeah, we're going to try and do that in the power of the Spirit this year. Let's pray together.